You are now listening to the Solemn Attention Podcast.
Make sure you like, share, comment, subscribe. This podcast is on Apple, Spotify, and streaming networks all over the world. And so we thank all of you guys for listening in. We thank you for being a part of the show now for going about 2 years. And we are grateful that we get to continuously to inspire you to live a life on purpose. And I'm not going to do the inspiration today. I got Miss Serena on the show to share her perspective. How you doing, Miss Serena?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored.
Absolutely. So where are you from? Where are you located?
Southern California.
Okay, dope. How's the weather up there right now?
Well, we just had a tropical storm warning, first time in California. Yeah. So it's a little bit dreary, but it's still a beautiful day.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. The weather's crazy. So let's get into it. So what's your story?
Well, I'm going to try and keep that real short.
I know, right?
I'm the owner and founder of Pulse Marketing. It's a marketing and advertising agency. And most recently, I published a memoir about my story, my personal story. I grew up in witness protection, several different foster homes. I lived on the streets by the age of 16, struggled with addiction and, many things that happen on the streets, which is pretty explicit. So I'll keep it clean.
Yeah.
And most recently, about 3 years ago, my husband committed suicide. So I definitely have a trifecta of trauma. What I say is that I have a wealth of post-traumatic wisdom.
Wow. You threw me with the last one. I mean,
I just didn't get a break in life.
Wow. Wow. I tell you, the more you do this podcasting and the more you hear about people's stories, you just never know what people are going through. Right. And so your marketing agency, did you start that before this trauma, after or during?
Before. So I started the agency in 2013.
Yeah.
My husband and I were married for 10 years and he worked many of those years in the agency. So his choice to take his life did not only affect our family and our children, it also impacted my business and my staff. Yeah. So it was, and it was in March of 2020 when he took his life, right when the pandemic hit.
Wow.
So it was like a wave of grief. Yeah. In many different forms.
Yeah. And during the pandemic with all that, we was, March, it was brand new. We were in the house. So you had to grieve during that. Wow.
Had to figure out how to do a virtual funeral.
Wow.
For the first time. And so it was a lot of unraveling. My husband, he struggled with, in our 10 years of marriage, multiple infidelities, his own, addictions, mental health issues. And on the outside, he seemed like this magnetic, charming, charismatic personality.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, I saw a whole different side of him. And for a lot of that time, I hid who he was and the things that happened because I wanted to protect everyone around me. And what I recognized during that process is that I was deteriorating myself.
Yeah.
And so when I did find the courage to step away and start to heal myself was when he chose to take his life.
Wow. So coming through that, I mean, all those different, you talk about your past and you talk about your marriage and, when you look at your life and all these situations, what has kept you going?
So many things. But I think one of the most instrumental is a sense of community. I have a tendency to isolate. I have a tendency to hide. And it was just people reaching out and rising up and lifting me up when I could not see past my tears. So that's part of it. Another part of it is that I had to be intentional about embracing healing. And so I had to specifically identify what would help me to grow and what could I learn from this.
Yeah.
So writing my book was a huge part of that because I had to relive the trauma as I wrote about each experience. And that is as painful as that was. It was one of the most healing experiences that I've had. And then addition to that, because when you're going through all of these different levels of grief, you have to find multiple sources of comfort. Yeah. So I struggled with depression, through a lot of these different situations. And I had to be really intentional about pushing myself to get out of bed and to do something that brought me a new experience or a new adventure.
Yeah.
Started doing yoga, started meditating, started hiking, seeing the sunrise. Those little things also helped me to overcome something this big. These are all little tiny things that make a big impact when you're in that place.
Yeah. Wow. And you got enough strength to not only heal and come through it, but also write a book to put it out there for the world to scrutinize.
That was terrifying because as a little girl, before I was taken into witness protection, I was abused by my father sexually. And so my mom would find me hiding in the closet. And so since I was a little girl, my patterns would be to hide. Well, as I was writing the book, I recognized that my pattern of hiding came in multiple forms, whether I was hiding behind a mask or pretending I was okay or I was strong when I wasn't. Whatever my form of hiding, I recognized that that pattern was consistent.
Yeah.
So I had to make a commitment to myself that I would no longer hide. And that's when I had to make that decision to publish the book.
Yeah.
Which was even scarier than writing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now it's out there for the world to.
It is. And that's a terrifying thing when you put all of your most intimate moments into, just black and white on paper and you show it to the world. But I knew I needed to have that courage.
Yeah.
If I wanted to empower others to have that same courage.
Yeah. What? I was going to ask you what made you write the book. So do you feel a sense of new purpose or a different level to help others who have experienced these things? Like what was was this just purely just for your healing? Like what was the reason for the book?
The original reason was to heal for my own healing.
Yeah.
And then as I continued to write and get feedback from others, I recognized how powerful it was to have a voice and to share some of those experiences so that you could also encourage and empower others to do the same.
Yeah.
And so it became something much bigger than it was when I started.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that you started as a healing process, but then like, wait a minute, we got something.
Yes.
We got something here.
So I believe that it has made me an advocate for healing.
Yeah.
I also believe that it's given me an opportunity to redefine my purpose.
Yeah.
And my purpose truly is to seek and share my story in hopes that it will allow others to learn to step out of their own hiding and into the light.
Yeah.
And to share their stories and to have that bravery.
When your husband, made that choice, did you ever feel like it was your fault?
That's a good question. There was a lot of things that were unfolding during that time, several women coming out of the woodworks, right? Like there's a lot of those things. And I really tried to protect him, protect him from himself. But somebody once told me, you can be the most amazing person, the most amazing wife, the most amazing mother, all these things. But there's one thing that you can't do. You can't earn love. You can't earn approval. You can't earn it. It has to be freely given. And when it's not, you have to make the decision to love yourself. So when I made that decision and he chose to take his life, I had already come to terms with, if he made this decision, that it was not my fault. And so as hard as that is to say, it took a while for me to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can say that, but there's all these what ifs and buts, and if I did this or if I could have done that differently.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you cannot control what other people do, and you cannot earn their love, and you have to allow things to unfold the way that they are supposed to.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do it anyways.
Right. Wow. That was your transparency is appreciated. And I know that there are going to be so many listeners who your story and your experiences are going to help. And that's what this show is about. And so we appreciate you for being vulnerable and transparent about your story. This is real. I'm looking at a real person talking about her real trauma. And so how can people connect with you to learn more about this book that's coming out that is going to be a bestseller? Since it's out, we got to make it a bestseller, right? Since it's out, since you did all this to get it out, we got to make it a bestseller, because what else do we have to do, right?
Well, I know. So if you type in serenamastin.com, my author website will come up.
Yeah.
Or if you just put Serena Mastin in Amazon, you'll be able to purchase the book there as well.
Yeah.
I just recently finished the Audible version. So for those that don't have the attention span to read, they can listen.
Yeah. Yeah. You did your own audiobook.
No, I hired a narrator.
Gotcha.
But she sounds very similar to me. I can't relive it by actually narrating it. I already wrote the thing. We're done.
And so talk about your marketing business. Is it still going?
Yes. So despite all of those obstacles, I mean, you can imagine.
Right.
I had no idea there's 200,000 in medical bills when something like that happens. He was overseeing sales, so it impacted our clients. We lost a lot of clients during that time, but we restabilized and rebuilt the foundation. And my team rose up and really, led the agency. And so we are a team of graphic designers, web developers, content writers, all of those things. Yeah. And so it's been a beautiful thing. And the website for that is heartofcreative.com.
Wow. Wow. Still going strong. And we definitely want to encourage our listeners, if you've connected to this story in any way, if you want to buy the book, if you need some marketing support and you want to be a part of the work that Serena's doing, we want to challenge you to go right in the description of this episode and get plugged in. And so the last thing I want to say before we let you go, Serena, we talked a lot about this. Our entire platform is about purpose. You're somebody who obviously have had so many experiences, but you found purpose, redefined purpose in so many different ways. What would you say to that millennial who's listening right now, right, who's trying to figure out who they are, trying to figure out what their next steps are? Maybe some of their story is even connected to you. Connect to your story. What would you say to inspire that millennial to choose purpose?
I would say a lot of people look at success or their purpose as they're on top of the mountain and they finally made it. But I would really inspire you to recognize that it's the climb. And it's the journey. So when the rocks are falling on you, when you're sliding down the mountain, when it's raining, when you're climbing it, and it feels like everything is falling apart, that journey is what gives you strength. Mm-hmm. That journey is what gives you perspective. And so in the moments where you feel like giving up, it's not about getting to the top of that mountain. It's about the climb. And that's where you truly find your purpose.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for again, your transparency, all of your gems. And we wish you nothing but success here on the Solomon Teacher Podcast. We want to make sure that, you know, we have you again so we can see how book sales are going. Maybe you're on tour. Maybe you're doing other things, and you know, right? But we want to have you back. So thank you again for being a guest on the Solomon Teacher Podcast.